Good evening, Gabriel Shadar, and yes, welcome to Nationwide Program here in Greater Peabody Administrative Area. This is a special edition, of course, of the Nationwide, and right now we are here in Peabody. We arrived this morning. At the moment, we are seated just next to the Peabody River. It's a chilly, beautiful evening here, and of course, we'll get to find out a lot about this particular area, which is the Greater Peabody Administrative Area. If you heard, as we have been saying all along, the whole week we will be here and we will be discussing, talking to leaders in the state, we'll be talking to the citizens, civil society, and of course we'd like to hear as well from our daily listeners who have been contributing here from Peabody. Now, Greater Peabody Administrative Area remains one of the most conflict regions in South Sudan, grappling with, as many other parts of the country, insecurity, intercommunal tensions, and limited access to basic services, even if efforts to stabilize and devolve the area, of course, continues. We'll get to find out about some of those efforts that are put in place to try to help the people of Greater Peabody Administrative Area. When we were talking to some of the people around here as we move around when we arrived, well, some people are saying there's quite a lot of visible improvement that they have seen from Greater Peabody Administrative Area in the last few years. So what are these achievements? Well, we will be speaking to the Chief Administrator of Greater Peabody Administrative Area, Honorable Gola Boyoy Gola, to discuss the current situation, what is being done to address these challenges as well that are affecting the state, and what does the future of this particular area holds. This evening, we welcome our guests to speak to us here in Greater Peabody Administrative Area. Your Excellency Gola Boyoy Gola, thank you so much for joining us. This is a special edition of Nationwide from Peabody. Good evening.
Good evening, Sabid William, and all Miraya FM listeners. And welcome to Greater Peabody Administrative Area and Peabody Headquarters.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the welcome. Let's begin with what everyone wants to know at the moment, and that the general situation, your own. How will you describe the situation here?
Yeah, I think the general situation in Greater Peabody Administrative Area is actually we are more optimistic, okay, in terms of security, in terms of other development activities. Only that we have some issues here and there regarding the issue of the cobo and also cattle raiding here and there. And this is, I think, one of the major challenges we are facing, the issue of the wading, cattle wading, the issue of the child abduction from both Greater Jungle and Greater Peabody. But generally, we have seen a lot of improvement in terms of development, in terms of access to the other areas. So generally, the situation is optimistic. I mean, it is promising. It's not like we are not facing major challenge like before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You term the situation as promising, and many people really does not know much about people apart from the few here and there stereotypes that people talk about. But now, as you took office earlier, when we were having a conversation with you, you said you want to make this place home where everybody can come in, of course, and settle. Help us understand your priorities as the Chief Administrator of Greater Peabody Administrative Area. What are some of your priorities now in this for this particular area?
Yeah, thank you once again. I think in such areas, there are a lot of their priorities. If you want to focus much on education, you will find health sector also need attention. If you want to focus on health center, you find other development activities need attention. If you want to mainly focus on development, then you have also a security that need a lot of attention. So we have to train ourselves on how we can try our level best to make sure that we incorporate all these activities so that we don't leave any other activity behind. But the major priority that I'm embarking on now, it is the town survey and demarcation of the town. That has never been there before. You know, we, as Greater Peabody Administrative Area, since the creation, it has never witnessed any survey or town planning. So that is one of the major programs that we are embarking on, and we are moving on very well. I can say we have now reached the level of 60% What remains is only 40%, and then we complete the process of survey and demarcation. And we have now started opening roads, internal roads within Bibor town. And those roads, it is also the first time of history for us to have those size roads. So we are working closely with some business people and also from other development partners to see into it that Bibor is well demarcated, it's well surveyed, so that because any development, it will be depending on the town planning, because you cannot have proper development without town planning.
Yes. Exactly, that's what I wanted to know from you, because of all the priorities, so far you said you have started the town demarcation and the survey, which is important to you. But why is this important?
I told you it is the core stone of any development, because from the time, from time to time, when you have a plan of maybe developing the area, you have first to start with a survey. Because if you want to build like concrete houses, concrete buildings, government offices that are going to be permanent, then you have to build it in a land that you already know is going to be there forever. So by also opening roads, we are showing people that the town is here. Also, someone from the FLM party, we believe of taking town to the people. So we need to bring town to be born so that people feel the dividend of peace. Yes.
In terms of this survey and demarcations and development that you mentioned, how important is it when it relates to the issues of security?
It's also can contribute for the issue of security, because that will allow us to have access and movement and free and fast movement. If we had any incident, maybe 5 kilometers out of town, we'll be able to reach those areas. But previously, we don't have road completely. So sometimes if incident occurred, then the security personnel have to run by foot. But now, with this road opening, it's very fast to access areas that was very difficult for us to access. So you could see this one also is helping us in terms of security.
You said 60% of this survey is already done, you're left with around only 40. Tell us, where do you get the resources to help in demarcating and survey of this particular town?
You see, after these challenges of that our country is facing, the economic crisis that we are facing, we thought of depending on ourselves, the local revenue that we are collecting. We have to utilize it and use it for the purpose that was intended to be used. So we have some revenues from the cattle trading, some revenues from, of course, the vehicles who are goods from Juba. So all these local revenues, we utilize them, and then we start paying for the company and engineer to come and start the survey. So after doing the survey now, there are also process of house registration and all this. So there's also a fees, reasonable fees that the civilian are paying to pay itself. So from the beginning, we paid from the government budget, but now we are starting paying within the money that we are getting from the state itself. So it would see like it's paid itself by itself.
Great.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned about security earlier, and you did mention about the situation, of course, we understand the situation in Akobo. Apart from that particular situation, generally, here in Greater Peabody Administrative Area, what are the biggest security challenges that you face?
I think the biggest security challenge in Bibor is road ambushes. That has been actually affecting us. We have witnessed a lot of incidences on the roads. And sometimes it's very difficult to track them. But the other issue is also the issue of the cattle raiding from other side to our areas and also from our area to other side. So I believe these are the main two security challenges that we face. But we are working hard. Now we have managed to escort all the vehicles that are coming in and going out of Greater Bibor in order for us to provide maximum protection for the traders, so that they would not face those robberies on the road. So that one has been solved through the
security escort
for all the vehicles that coming in and out. And regarding the cattle way, engaging with the community through the support of UNMI sometimes, and also Peace Canal and POF, we be able to conduct a lot of peace conferences in Bibo, in Jongole. And of recent, we have started engaging local communities, especially hard to reach areas. We went to Beachy Beach last time. We're planning to go to Nanam. We also have like road opening from Jongole, from outside of Bibor. We are also engaging with the youth in order to leave this negative activity up on business, like cattle trading and all this. So these are a few things that we are doing in order to reduce this issue of the cattle raiding. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the issue of cattle raiding and child abduction has been so much associated with this particular area. But since you came in as the chief administrator, we have seen quite a lot of praises as well that people are putting out there on how you relate to your neighboring.
We seem to have lost the link there. Are you there, Sebit? We seem to have lost the link for a few.
We are actually marginalized as a community, and also at the same time, the level of education here is also a bit low compared to our neighbors, especially in Greater Jongole. Mm-hmm. That's why you could see they managed to bring all people on board to believe. The perception of the people who conduct always cattle raiding are from this area. But this phenomena is happening from both sides. Historically, people from Bor, they abduct our children, mm-hmm. they abduct our women, the same thing of law. So these communities, all of them, they're practicing the same. Yeah. So when I came in, I also come up with an idea on how to fight the child abduction. Mm-hmm. And if you could follow it up, of recent, 2 months ago, people from Bor came and abducted 14 children. And up to now, it's still there. We are engaging with them for them to return it back, and it's still there. So this is not well known to Greater Bibor alone. It's in all other areas. But as leaders, we always come up with a proposal. Personally, I've engaged with other development partners. I came up with customary laws that condemn and punish the criminals who went and abduct children, because the issue of the cattle raiding is like a culture. Mm-hmm. But now for us, we need to criminalize the issue of the child abduction. So we come up with a customary law that whoever found abducted a child will be fined 40 kyos and 2 years in prison. And also, if you found you are buying from the raiders, you also be given the same fine and 2 years in prison. So these are the mechanism that we put in place, plus our local engagement with the youth. I've been traveling to areas that has become very hard for any other person to reach before, but through the support from other development partners, we've been able to travel those areas, engage with the youth directly, talk to them about the negative impact of child abduction, giving them examples of what happened if your child has been abducted. So that one has contributed at least to the point of reducing the phenomena of child abduction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did mention that this practice is not only in Greater Bibor administrative area. It happens in the greater law as well. They abduct children from here, from Greater Bor. They also do abduct children from here. And you, as the chief administrator of this particular area, you have come with bylaws and laws that are governing now. If you abduct a child and your phone, you're charged and you have to pay all these. Mm-hmm. Did you talk to your counterparts from the other communities as well who are practicing this, to put some bylaws so that not only your people are punished, but the rest of the communities are also punished, and you're on the same boat in addressing this issue?
Yeah, I think we are in line with Governor Victoria Guy Cook. He was actually asking us to help him in terms of also having a customary law for Greater Jongole, for Jongole State, that will punish also such activity. But I think there's some a gap in terms, because we have different ways of approaching that. You know, for you to enforce the law, we must strengthen the law enforcement agencies to make sure that they enforce the law. Because what happens sometimes in the side of, at least for us here, if we got information of abducted child anywhere, we'll go and get them. We'll send the forces and get them by force. This is not the case in Jungle. At some point, the government have to pay them to return the abductees back, which is contrary to, it's like we are promoting it. That's what I've been telling them in conferences. Like if we exchange the abductees with cows or money, that means we are encouraging them. And that's why Dr. Yagai Kok is always very serious about this matter, that he wanted to have the same laws that as we have, so that we enforce this. And we cannot enforce without strengthening the law enforcement agencies, without also a support from the national government, because it is also a prerogative of the national government to enforce the law. As a state, we will not have that power to enforce the laws. So this is also, I think, one of the challenges that we are facing, because we can have a law as a document, but then the implementation would be something different.
But at the moment, are you implementing the laws?
Not yet. We are now at the stage of just collecting, because we have passed the law in the cabinet, waiting approval from the Legislative Council of Greater Bibo Administrative Area. So I've been also advocating, I've been moving around areas. We send chiefs, we send commissioners to talk to the youth that you better, if you have abducted child or women, you have to bring it now. Because if you bring it later after the passing of the law, the law will not reverse back. Even if you brought it, you'll be punished for that.
Right.
So that's why we have collected hundreds of abductees for the past 5 or 6 months.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to actually ask. Since you took over office here, how many people have you tried to reconnect with their families or return them to these states who are abducted?
I may not have the correct data, but so far, based on my information, for the last 6 months, we have not less than 98 abductees that we have returned them to their families.
Great. Let's talk about development in the state. You have started with surveys, and of course, Greater Bibo have a huge potential. One of it is tourism, and we've seen recently you've opened a tourist site. Tell us about that potential.
Yeah, I think this is one of the things that we want to focus on, but that one also is connected to the issue of the security, because for people to move freely, we must provide security, maximum security, so that we now develop our tourism sector. So Greater Bibo is actually one of the potential, because if you see the migration that has been announced by African Park and the other agencies, it is the biggest in Africa, if not in the world. So we have to utilize that. How do you utilize that? As a government, we come up with a clear plan on how we can improve security so that we allow the tourism to continue, I mean to kick off. Now we have opened one site in Maruo, Hill, and we are working on other two areas in Otalo and Buma. So we are going to have like three sites. And then from there, we are also trying to encourage the road opening. We are also trying to engage with the National Minister of Road and Bridges to see into it that the roads are also open. Because now, when some of the national tourists cannot access, because it's very expensive, for you to go there, you need to hire a shopper, which is very expensive. So we are only seeing millionaires are flying there, and most of them are white people. But the time has come also for us to showcase our beauty of our country to the locals. Some people may not have been to Buma, and Buma, it is a historical place, and I think that's why it was named after each and every Buma in our country. So such places has to be developed so that our national people that also could go and explore and see the name Buma, because they've been hearing about Buma, but I've never been to Buma. So this is also something that we are working on, and the area is very potential in different sectors.
Talking about this new site is Maruo.
Yeah.
Yes. Just At the moment, we cannot access that place. Has to be chopper only. There's no road leading to this. Is that correct?
Yes. That's correct.
No road leading to this.
Yes.
Now, why is that so? Is it because of armed youth, probably, or it is simply because of completely no road has been constructed to that particular site up to now?
There has never been road has been constructed there. And also, on the other side of the of Bibor, which we call it the upper side, it is one of the most peaceful areas because there are no more cattle like here. You know, security issues always relate with cattle. When there is cattle, then there is security issues. Yeah, but that particular area is just, most of the people there are farmers. So it's like one of the most secured places in Greater Bibor.
Great, yes. Great. Let's look at the issue, of course, as you did mention, insecurity as well. And we still keep coming back to this because this is the driver of almost every development. If there's security, people can go about their farming. And recently we saw you farming, and we will talk about that. We'll cover that as well as we are here for the next 1 week. How is the situation of armed youth, which is basically almost in the whole of Greater Jongle before, but now Greater Bibor? How is the situation particularly here in Bibor at the moment?
As I mentioned earlier, I think our problem is always with the cattle. So the challenges that we have, maybe you will face a lot of security challenges if you have cattle, because people always come to raid your cattle, even if you are from here. So this is one of the challenges. But the issue of the farming, we are now trying to encourage the communities to start farming. And that's why we are ourselves, and are also encouraging all the sectors, other sectors, especially the organized forces, the police, the wildlife, the SSPDF, all these organized forces, I ask them to have their own farms. So that we eat from what we produce instead of focusing on. So this is maybe a different topic, but I don't think there is insecurity that can stop people from farming. Yes.
So the insecurity, is it within from Bibor, or the biggest security threat is from the neighboring communities?
No, I think the biggest is within Bibor.
Is within.
Yes.
That is people of Bibor fighting themselves.
Exactly.
And what are the drivers of this?
I think most of it, it's the age set groups. We have the issue of the HZ group, and when a new HZ group emerge, they always fight with the oldest one. So I think this is one of the, before historically they used to use sticks, but now it's turned to a gun, guns, because each and everyone has a gun. So that is the changing factor now.
Many people will not understand this HZ group thing, people who are not from this community or who don't have that. Can you explain to us particularly, what is this HZ group and why are they fighting the previous one? Is it to show power? Because they've taken over. So what is the fight all about?
I think the HZ group, it is a cultural kind of structures. And it is actually structures that the Mudle community are relying on. There is no a single man in Mudle society that has no HZ. You have to belong to a certain age set for you to be considered. Even if you are traveling now from any other area, if you arrive even in the evening and you want to spend a night before you proceed, you have to ask if you have any of your age sets here around. They will accommodate you like a brother. So it's like a brotherhood, but also I think it is a way of also respecting the elders. So you will find the HZ have also a different colors. We use beads with different colors. So that is a uniqueness of each and every HZ group. But the fight now is not over the domination or a power, but is about recognition and also dating girls. Because if you are older, then all girls will refuse you. And that's why the oldest age set will also always fight with the youngest, so that they will not take over from them. Then they are still, they want to prove that they are still young, they can still can go out with the girls. So, but at the end of the day, before any other age set emerge, it will now be on who's supposed to be in charge. So that's it, and that has been like that for almost since the creation of humankind.
And what determines age shed? Is it after how many years?
I think after 10 years.
After 10 years is
yes.
a new age
yes.
shed.
Yes.
Let's talk about some other opportunities that exist here in Greater Pibora Administrative Area that can diversify livelihoods beyond the traditional practice that we mentioned, which is cattle. Now we've gone talked about tourism, which of course has a lot of potential but yet had to be tapped because of, you know, road networks and all that. So what other opportunities are here in this state?
I think we have a lot of opportunities. First of it is the issue of the agriculture. Our land is very, very fertile for any type of crops, and it is also a big land compared to most of the states in terms of the area.
Mm-hmm.
So we have also potential in mining. We have a lot of minerals that most of it has not been yet discovered. So you could find that the area we also maybe reach in Gamma Arabic, Lulus. So there are a lot of opportunities that actually that has not been tapped. But if we could have a way of utilizing it, then it is going to be one of the richest areas in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let's talk about your relationship with particularly the United Nations mission in South Sudan. We heard they have been as well helping particularly on issues of road network or the airstrip as well. Tell us something about that.
Yeah, I think I must be grateful for the United Nations mission in South Sudan. With its current leadership in Bibor. Since my appointment, we've been working together hand in hand with them. They have helped us with a lot of programs. I remember when I came here, they asked me what would be the one thing that you want to achieve as a chief administrator, and I told them it's airstrip. So through their support, now we have airstrip that is landable throughout the season. But before we used to face a lot of challenges. If it starts raining like this, sometimes we can stay for 3 weeks. Without and the market will run out of essential items. So that airstrip has contributed positively. And then we have continuous MSR that always connect the counties, especially Bibor and Gumruk, Bibor and Lukangule. So MSR also has been so
what
helpful.
What is MSR? Just it for is, those who need to
it
understand.
It is the road maintenance.
Okay, road maintenance.
Yeah,
okay.
They do it every year.
Okay.
So it's also helped a lot in terms of that. Plus other activities that we are still working on. Of recent, the United Nations mission also through the Rogue Aid Mech that provided us 2 water pumps that will help us during the flooding, because also Bibor has witnessed severe flooding for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
So we have managed to receive those donations, and it's going to help us a lot. So actually there are a lot of activities that has been done through the support from the United Nations mission in South Sudan, and especially the Rogue Aid Mech and the rest of the team. Also through Quick Impact Project, they were able to construct the courthouse that have contributed positively in law enforcement. We have some hospitals and clinics that has been constructed through Quick Impact Projects program. So these are the things that they have contributed so far, and we want to actually appreciate the role that they are playing.
Let's talk briefly about the flooding before we actually take some phone calls. It hasn't started raining heavily yet this season, and the soil here seems to be prone to... almost people cannot easily move when it
yes.
rains. Tell us about that. Are we about to get stuck moving around on food when it rains?
Exactly. You need to have your gumboot ready when it's rain. But the flooding also has been one of the biggest challenges that facing us in Bibor. That's why you have seen also through the support of UNMIS and AOM and the World Bank, we have starting constructing some dikes.
Yes.
So hoping that maybe it will help.
And I've also seen some bridges being
exactly,
constructed
around. So these are the things that we also propose as our flood mitigation activities. And if we fail, and we are also always expecting the flood from August and September.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so it's not because of the rainfall, but it's because of the other rivers that will connect with Bibor River and then now the flood. So... we are hoping that there's no flooding this year, and also we are hoping that these dikes will contribute positively. But if we fail, I think we've always been thinking of a plan B of relocating the headquarters to a high ground area, which is 60 kilometers from here. So that one has been there. So it is actually we have a resolution on that. So we are just trying to see whether this mitigation is going to bear fruit. Yes,
talking about that, just elaborate more. Someone listening, oh, you want to take the headquarters of Greater People to somewhere else. Where is that exactly?
There's a close called Labarap.
Labarap.
Yes.
And how soon is that plan?
It's very soon. It depends on the resources, the availability of resources. If we manage to engage with the tourism sector and also mining sector and we can able to get resources, then immediately we'll be able to relocate the capital.
This year, next year, in the next 5 years?
In the next 2-3 years, maybe.
Okay, great. Yes. Gola, before we take some phone calls right now, we all saw it when you were first removed. There was some protests. And then when you were appointed, people were celebrating. The young people were jubilating. And we saw pictures. We saw it on social media and all that. Why is that so? And first, what progress are you most proud of as the chief administrator of Greater People Administrative Area that since you actually took office?
I think number one is security. When I came here, the security was terrible. And I put a plan of 1 month and we managed to stabilize security. And then after that, I thought of doing some development activities. Like even this guest house that we are in, I've done it my first time. And also, we come up with a plan. Actually, we were supposed to partner with the United Nations Mission in rehabilitating the airstrip. And so that one also has been done. And we also engage with other development agencies to connect the counties, especially Bibor, Gumruk, Bibor, Lukangole, and that has been connected. So, but currently, I think the biggest achievement that I'm seeing now is the issue of the survey and demarcation. I am always happy to get the feedback from the public because I'm also interacting with them in tea places, in fields where we play football, volleyball together on the roadside. So I've received a lot of positive comment about the current demarcation that is going on. Yeah, you could see the town has started appearing in Greater Bibor with the road opening, internal road, although there's also a lot of challenges for us to do that, but we managed to do so. I think as a young person also, when I came first, the first thing I work on is to prove myself. Because there's perception that Yal Sokar. For us to do that, we need to walk extra mile and to prove them wrong. And that is what actually been attested by the public. They have seen a lot of things that have never been seen. They have never seen it before. And that's why they're happy for the development that they are seeing. They're happy with the activities that they are seeing. And we want to make sure that we engage them throughout so that whatever we do, it has to be in coordination with them and confirmation also from them. Yes.
All right. If you just join us, you're listening to Nationwide here in Pibor Administrative Area and particularly in Pibor Town. This is a special edition and we are talking to the Chief Administrator of Greater Pibor Administrative Area. And now we go and take some phone calls. We get back to you there in Juba. So we take some phone calls for the Chief Administrator to be able to answer some of them. Yes.
Yes, thanks, Abit, and I will be picking the calls after this very short interlude.
All right.
Yes.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Oh, boy.
Yes, and we are picking calls from our listeners, and this is the first caller here. Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Jaden.
Welcome, Jaden.
Okay, I have two questions. Since those guys are going to be there for a week, maybe we'll get an opportunity tomorrow. It looks like time is not there. My first question is, National Election Commission made it clear that the election will be held or will be conducted based on 2010 constituencies and state demarcation. Does it mean that by December 2026, Greater Fibor Administrative Area will not be there and the position of the Chief Administrator also will not be there? What plan do Bola Boye have? Is he going to contest for the gubernatorial position of Jonglei State? And the second question is, recently we have seen a hashtag on social media where Mrule youth and Lonwe youth call it Murlo. It is like a peace hashtag. Is Bola Boye Gola in support of that? Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much for the two questions there from Jaden. Let me pick another caller. Hello? Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Andrea Camilo Ongam in Fagao area.
Welcome, Andrea.
And I greet Gola Bayoye Gola in online from Fibor Administrative Area. Mm-hmm. That's with William.
Yes.
I have a question to him. Greater Fibor Flasbor has become a gun store of which each and everyone have a gun. And even now there is recent fighting in Jongle. As there are leaders there in Greater Fibor Flas Jongle, where these youth get a gun to fight the government in this country.
Okay.
Any plans for you one day, one time, for you to resume all these youth or not? If not, why?
Okay. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you so much.
Andrea Camilo from Raya there. Hello? We've lost the last caller there, but it's still the numbers are 09120 67879. 09120 67879 and 09120 68101. Hello?
Gabriel Joseph Sedar.
Yes, welcome.
James Ndiam in Madina County.
Yes, James.
I will have you to hear with the Honorable Gola, Gola, Boyoy, Gola. I am a man. شان يعني طبعا الامم بسبب المشاكل بين جيرانات ما جيرانات هل اتاك هونربول اتا لموت شنو للشباب لسه امم بسرق يال او بسرق البقار الناس اللي انت عندي اصل في دين هل اتا موت شنو فوق نمبر 2 طبعا الخدانات بقى جاي واسا في محلات بتا دي بورد كاب والتيم مليار وكمان ذاته بكون موطنين تريد المن باكل فوق بقى ماك هل اتا حولتها بالطريقه بتا ترك بتا شارع شويه كده شان عربيه بقدر يدخل بعدوى للمواطنين جمال كريم.
No. Shukran. Shukran, some of the questions asked by the last caller have been answered, of course, during the conversation, but let me pick this one. Hello?
Yes, please. How are you? Good evening.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Tongon Golango calling from Awil.
Tong, welcome.
I've been listening through your radio, and that program is very, very something that's very important. And I would like to comment on that one, that the reason why you see these youth, the mobbing, you know, cattle riding, and also engage in the fighting, it is because of unemployment. When you see the rate of unemployment here in South Sudan is very, very important. Except the government should sit down and create the opportunity for the youth in order to maintain the youth, like employment, they should employ the youth. That's why the reason you see now, the youth are engaging in the fighting and the raising of the cattle through the border. This is because of unemployment. When the youth are gathering, make sure that they create a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how could the government overcome that problem now?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. The question on the youth there. Are you there, Sabit William, and your guest?
Yes, Gabriel, we are back, and you could probably
if you have missed,
to
I will be,
some of them.
Yes, I will be reading some of the questions.
Yes, yes.
I think you got the first question from Jadid, right?
Yes.
And the question from Andrea, from Raja, and before that is becoming a gun store, and what is being, where are the youth getting these guns? And also another one question is about the youth. Everyone is asking about the youth, how the youth can be controlled. Someone is asking about the flood. Floods are coming, and what is happening to the road connection? Let me give another one a chance here to ask a question. And, of course, this is Nationwide coming to you live from Bibor. There was my colleague, Sabid William, and the Chief Administrator of Bibor, Greater Bibor, Mr. Deveria. Let me go back there, and there are a lot of questions that might be asked in just 3-4 minutes, and then you conclude the Sabit.
Yes. Hello, Gabriel. You're taking some phone calls?
Yes, the line is with you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. As you've been hearing us, this is a special edition of Nationwide coming to you live from Greater Bibor Administrative Area, and my guest is the Chief Administrator himself. Well, let's begin with the question. Particularly, he asked a question that South Sudan is preparing for elections in December. First of all, are you going to contest?
I don't think it is me to decide whether I'm going to contest or not. It is actually we have a primary election or selection. Sometime it's through the either Political Bureau or National Liberation Council. This is the only body that will determine who will run for elections. So until that, I'm not yet confirmed whether I'm going to run for election or not. Yes.
Yes.
Coming to the question of
peace efforts.
No, the question of the Greater Bibor is going to go back. I don't think Bibor is going to go back to Greater Jonglei. Greater Bibor is an administrative area, and it has established 2014 through the peace agreement between the government and the Cobra faction. Led by General David Yao Yao, and it is also part of the 7 amendments of the Constitution of South Sudan. So I think the discussion now it's only on the numbers of the members of Parliament, but it is clear that from the Constitution that the Chief Administrator will run for office, just like the Governor and like the President. So that one is confirmed. So there's no point of saying Bibor will go back to Jonglei. The other issue of maybe most of the question actually, as Gabriel Joseph mentioned, it's about youth. And this is the biggest challenge we have.
Yes, and particularly that he did mention as well before, just to continue, about a hashtag he has been seeing online about efforts on peace between the Murle community, the Low, and probably the Dinkabor. He said, what is your take on that?
No, I think the peace of effort are there. You have seen recently we have been to Nana Bichibich with the Governor Letuya Guy Koch, with all the commissioners from their side and from our side, and we have stayed there for 3 days, and we have discussed about peace, and I think the next meeting is going to be in Nyirol County. And we are prepared and ready for that. So the peace process is continuing despite the challenges here and there, because as a government, we want to see ourselves as not part of what is going on, because those who came from Jonglei raid cattle and abduct children are criminals, and those also who go from Bibor to Greater Jonglei abduct children and raid cattle are criminals. So there is no point of us to stop the peace process because of criminals. The criminals are everywhere, so that one cannot stop us. So we are supporting this, we are part of this process, and we will always embrace peace and unity among our people.
Yes, as Gabriel said, there most of the questions are concerning youth, and one of them is, where are the youth getting the guns?
I don't think I'm in a position to answer this, because I don't know where they got the guns. I just found they are there
having
guns.
Yeah.
So I think it is maybe the Minister of Interior, the national government, that can answer that better.
And are there plans from your side to try to collect these guns?
I don't think it's also advisable to be unilateral. It has to be coordinated, planned, and at the same time, from the entire communities, because we don't need to reach to the point of collecting maybe gun from Jungle and leave Low and Mule and Taposa, for example, to have guns, and then they will be vulnerable. So if we've been always advocating as governors for the nationwide disarmament, whereby all guns must be taken from the civilian, because it is not prerogative of the civilian to protect themselves. It is the government, as part of the social contract. The government must be the one to protect the people and their properties, not the civilian themselves. Okay. Yeah.
We have talked about quite a lot of things in the state here, and we've touched on security, development issues and all that. Now, what is the number one thing moving forward at the moment? You're already with the survey and all that, but what could you like to achieve that you will be very proud of if you do for the people of Greater People Administrative Area?
I think number one is supporting education sector. Now we have managed to improve the quality education. We are trying to pay teachers incentive from the state revenues. So far, in Biboru town here, we are paying for 37 teachers monthly incentive without delay. And we are also planning to have the biggest secondary school for Greater Biboru that will accommodate all the students from the other counties of Greater Biboru. So I think this will be one of the major achievements that I want to work on, because I want to improve the security, the education sector, and I believe by improving education will improve the insecurity. Number two, I also want to construct the general secretariat. You have seen the office that you have been this morning.
Yes.
This office has been there since Biboru was a county. Mm-hmm. So my plan now is to have a reasonable or concrete general secretariat that the state will to be like the face of Biboru.
Great.
And that is something that I'm working on. I think we are going to start it next year. I put it as one of the top priorities next year if I'm still in the position. Yes.
Hopefully. Golaboye, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity and talking to us here in Nationwide. We will be with you here for the next 1 week. Wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sir William.
Yes, and this has been Nationwide, a special edition of Nationwide coming to you from Greater Biboru Administrative Area. And that was the Chief Administrator, His Excellency Gola Boyoi Gola, speaking to us about the security situation, intercommunal challenges, and the path towards stability and development in the region. Now, as airports continue to address cattle raiding, cattle abduction, and strengthen livelihood, the voices of communities and the commitment of leadership remain critical to building lasting peace. Mirai on the Road will continue tomorrow. Join us on the Mirai Breakfast Show as we will be talking and looking at more and more issues in this particular area for the next 1 week. I've been with you, Sebit William, and back to you in the studios.
Thank you very much, Sebit William. And that is the end of today's Nationwide coming to you from Biboru with Sebit William. And with me here in the studio, Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.